Hello, this is James Riddler for Food Manufacture, and I was in conversation with Sophie Barron, founder of direct-to-consumer infant and toddler nutrition firm MamaMade, to discuss her recent crowdfunding success and what trends she foresees will be prevalent in the area of infant nutrition for 2022. So first of all, who are you and what do you do?
So I'm Sophie. I'm the founder of MamaMade. We are a direct-to-consumer child and infant nutrition company with a particular focus on supporting parents. So we provide everything that a parent needs in order to help feed their babies between the ages of 4 months and 4 years. So that's the food itself, but it's also coaching, it's community, and it's resources.
Brilliant. So I think the first thing we'd like to ask you about is your recent funding round. So you've been very successful. Could you talk us through that and more explicitly what you plan to use that money for?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it was a really exciting time for MamaMade. The business itself started in my kitchen and mostly grew over Instagram. So to be able to offer an opportunity for our community to get involved in a more meaningful way by joining us as part of a crowdfund was extremely appealing. And it was amazing to see the response and the uptake. You know, we had tickets as small as £12 and, you know, up to much, much bigger amounts invested. And to have that kind of range of excitement, I suppose, about the brand and getting people involved was really energizing. And yeah, we're really focusing on improving our range, on expanding our range, and just growing out our audience and our customer base. We really, for us, the objective is to be the leader in the market, and this is going to be one step closer to achieving that.
Excellent. As a smaller business, obviously you face many challenges. How has it been for you being a small business in this sort of area, especially against some of the larger corporations in the world doing not quite what you're doing, but of a similar vein?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's probably like the number one question I would get, especially when raising money, is that kind of like, well, it's a very crowded market, isn't it? And the reality is I started this business out of my own need because I wasn't seeing what I needed on the shelf, which was a convenience product that you could feel really good about feeding your child for every single meal. The nutritionals of the products on the shelf, to be quite honest, just don't cut it. More and more information is coming out, more and more campaigns now about the labeling and how misleading they can be and they are. And I think just seeing the way that our community is reacting to this product and to the branding itself, you know, seeing a brand that cares about the modern parent, that cares about the well-being, that appreciates that to have a healthy child, you also need a healthy mom and dad, or, you know, yeah, I think there's room in the market for lots of us. It's a very big market. People spend a lot of money feeding their kids. And so for us, it's an exciting opportunity to edge a special kind of corner of it.
You briefly mentioned there misinformation regarding labeling. Obviously, that's a big issue amongst manufacturers in general. Is that something you can explain a little bit more about?
Yeah, happily, because it's something I feel really quite passionate about. Basically, more and more is coming out around the sugar content in baby and toddler food. It's something that I myself have always had an interest in nutrition. I've done a certificate in child nutrition. And so I do know my way around a nutritional label. But to your average consumer, quite a bit is misleading in the sense that something that might be labeled as a vegetable product or vegetable led actually has a very small quantity of vegetables. And in contrast can have something like 10 to 15 grams of sugar per 100 grams, which for a baby is more or less the equivalent of having like a can of cola. Like it's a huge amount of sugar to be offering a child in one meal. It's not fair for parents to be misled in that way. So it's really about empowering parents to make more knowledgeable decisions around what they're offering their children and to be presented with better options as well that don't have those sugar contents.
And how do you go about informing consumers that your products do contain the things that other products may lack?
It's a really delicate balance because the products on the shelves have provided so much help and support to parents for so long. And so what we really try to do instead is kind of add in what we can offer instead of kind of taking away from what other brands might offer and basically just show the convenience of what we're offering, which is really fresh food with very low sugar contents that is genuinely vegetable-led, that can be so because it's all flash frozen. So it's really the heat processing of long life products that distorts the taste and kind of requires that higher level of fruit sugar to make it palatable. But the way that we're actually creating our food, it just tastes like food. So you don't need the kind of unnecessary added fruits to make it taste nice. And yeah, just informing parents around just general behaviors around how babies eat and how babies learn about foods, how it can take sort of upwards of two-digit number of times, you know, 15, 20 times of eating something to actually learn to like it. And a lot of that weaning journey is behavioral. It's parent responses. It's what parents are offering. And so trying not to put pressure on parents to do everything right, but really providing the support to make these decisions in a way that feels seamless and convenient.
Now, can you talk about maybe some of the current trends and future trends within your area of expertise? And also what you're doing, obviously you're adding that education aspect to it as well. Is that something that you think that will be a catch on and others will sort of learn from you and emulate in the future?
In terms of the education, I think it's very possible, but the kind of moat, I suppose, that we're building or trying to at least is with this community and really building a kind of space of interaction that we're talking not just about the food, but all elements of parenting. And I think that's something that a lot of the kind of legacy brands are perhaps not as well positioned to jump into discussions around, you know, mental health and perhaps other taboo subjects, simply because of, you know, the level of trust is a bit different than a brand like ours just starting out on Instagram, on social, where we have that very interactive way of sitting with the customer. In terms of trends that we're seeing and that we're responding to, is definitely all about flavor. So we're seeing that starting in the States is baby food becoming extremely flavor focused. So foods that parents themselves would want to eat, you know, things like curries, you know, satay, just things that have traditional in the Western world baby foods, certainly coming to the fore. And that's something that we're actively working on in our own range to implement quite quickly.
Now, obviously, the biggest challenge has been COVID-19 over the past 2 years. How has that affected you and how has that informed how you've done business?
The onset of the pandemic was quite good for us in the sense that a lot of the things that I was worried would hold people back from buying from us. So the fact that we're frozen, the fact that we're subscription-based, or, you know, we deliver to the door, these were all things that overnight became important for your average consumer. Overnight, people became much more aware of the benefits of plant-based, the benefits of kind of healthy living, healthy lifestyle, and they started to demand a lot more from their food. So we saw ourselves very well positioned, like hitting those trends quite early on in the pandemic, and it gave us a really nice sort of push in the right direction. We grew a lot in the first few months of the pandemic because of that. And we're seeing just the way people parent now has changed dramatically. For 2 years now, you've had parents raising kids essentially alone, without the same support systems that existed when I first had my baby. And even then I found them quite insufficient. So the kind of loneliness and the isolation has created an atmosphere where people are looking to connect with other parents and with brands online. And the fact that we were already there was a nice kind of benefit. On the product side, we've certainly had issues related to supply chain. You know, Brexit supply plus supply chain issues have certainly hit us in terms of availability. We've had stock interruptions that we haven't been able to avoid. But for the most part, being able to carry on interacting with our customers and understanding what they want and what they need, we've been able to kind of pull through. And it's something that's always on our minds. You know, it hasn't gone away yet, but we're coming up every day with kind of better ways of responding to it.
And finally, what's the future hold for Mama Made? Where do you plan to grow? How do you plan to expand in the next 5-10 years?
Our focus is really on building out this audience and this community of modern parents and then learning from them what it is that they want more of. So we're already doing that. Now we're coming up with a new range of products, still on the kind of food-ish scale, but a slightly different. So coming out with new ranges, new products, and hopefully going into other channels as well to keep serving our community.
Well, thank you very much, Sophie, and congratulations on your success and for your success in the future as well.
No, thank you so much for having me today.